Today is the 22nd day of November. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome. Welcome to the Global Campfire. Welcome to the end of a week. And so here we are. We started this week and we reflected, we considered, like we always do. It was shiny and sparkly, and now it's spent. We've lived it. So we have this opportunity to reflect, look back over it, at the peaks and valleys, the successes and the challenges. Because that rhythm makes us self-aware. It makes us be paying attention to what we're doing. And we just concluded the book of James yesterday, which really deeply encourages us to pay attention to what we're doing. Because we can act like anything and be faking. We can be a hypocrite. But what we actually do, that is what we actually believe. And so let's reflect back over this week. As we move forward, another step in the book of Ezekiel, we're kind of rounding the bend. And we'll be concluding the book of Ezekiel the next day or two. We concluded James yesterday, so we'll be coming into another letter called 1 Peter today. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But first, Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 1 through 45, verse 12. Then the man brought me back to the east gateway in the outer wall of the temple area, but it was closed. And the Lord said to me, "This gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No one will ever open it and pass through, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence. But he may come and go only through the entry room of the gateway." Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, take careful notice, use your eyes and ears, and listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning the Lord's temple. Take careful note of the procedures for using the temple's entrances and exits, and give these rebels, the people of Israel, this message from the sovereign Lord. O people of Israel, enough of your detestable sins. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary, people who have no heart for God. In this way, you defiled my temple, even as you offered me my food, the fat and blood of sacrifices. In addition to all your other detestable sins, you have broken my covenant. Instead of safeguarding my sacred rituals, you have hired foreigners to take charge of my sanctuary. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. No foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary if they have not been circumcised and have not surrendered themselves to the Lord. And the men of the tribe of Levi, who abandoned me when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols, must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness. They may still be temple guards and gatekeepers, and they may slaughter the animals brought for burnt offerings and be present to help the people. But they encouraged my people to worship idols, causing Israel to fall into deep sin. So I have taken a solemn oath that they must bear the consequences for their sins, says the Sovereign Lord. They may not approach me to minister as priests. They may not touch any of my holy things or the holy offerings, for they must bear the shame of all the detestable sins they have committed. They are to serve as the temple caretakers, taking charge of the maintenance work and performing general duties. However, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok continued to minister faithfully in the temple when Israel abandoned me for idols. These men will serve as my ministers. They will stand in my presence and offer the fat and blood of the sacrifices, says the Sovereign Lord. They alone will enter my sanctuary and approach my table to serve me. They will fulfill all my requirements. When they enter the gateway to the inner courtyard, they must wear only linen clothing. They must wear no wool while on duty in the inner courtyard or in the temple itself. They must wear linen turbans and linen undergarments. They must not wear anything that would cause them to perspire. When they return to the outer courtyard, where the people are, they must take off the clothes they wear while ministering to me. They must leave them in the sacred rooms and put on other clothes so they do not endanger anyone by transmitting holiness to them through this clothing. They must neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow too long. Instead, they must trim it regularly. The priests must not drink wine before entering the inner courtyard. They may choose their wives only from among the virgins of Israel or the widows of the priests. They may not marry other widows or divorced women. They will teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is common, what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They will serve as judges to resolve any disagreements among my people. Their decisions must be based on my regulations, and the priests themselves must obey my instructions and decrees at all the sacred festivals, and see to it that the Sabbaths are set apart as holy days. A priest must not defile himself by being in the presence of a dead person unless it is his father, mother, child, brother, or unmarried sister. In such cases, it is permitted. Even then, he can return to his temple duties only after being ceremonially cleansed and then waiting for 7 days. The first day he returns to work and enters the inner courtyard and the sanctuary, he must offer a sin offering for himself, says the Sovereign Lord. The priests will not have any property or possession of land, for I alone am their special possession. Their food will come from the gifts and sacrifices brought to the temple by the people, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings. Whatever anyone sets apart for the Lord will belong to the priests. The first of the ripe fruits and all the gifts brought to the Lord will go to the priests. The first batch of dough must also be given to the priests, so the Lord will bless your homes. The priests may not eat meat from any bird or animal that dies a natural death or that dies after being attacked by another animal. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy. A section of this land measuring 875 feet by 875 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land 87.5 feet wide is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside for a city where anyone in Israel can live. To two special sections of land will be set aside for the prince. One section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the second section will share a border on the west side. Then the far eastern and western borders of the prince's lands will line up with the eastern and western boundaries of the tribal areas. These sections of land will be the prince's allotment. Then my princes will no longer oppress and rob my people. They will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Enough, you princes of Israel. Stop your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and cheating my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes, says the Sovereign Lord. Use only honest weights and scales and honest measures, both dry and liquid. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weights will be the silver shekel. One shekel will consist of 20 gerahs, and 60 shekels will be equal to one mina. Okay, we mentioned it at the beginning. We're moving into another letter in the New Testament. This one is called 1 Peter, and so this is kind of like a reunion. We're coming back together with a voice that we got to know in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter. So it's almost like we've been away, but we're reunited with a dear, dear old friend. And we've gotten to know Peter pretty well, his personality, his character, and we've seen his passion in action. But we're now, for the first time, going to hear that passion in written form in this letter known as 1 Peter. And obviously, if there's a 1 Peter, there's probably a second one, and there is, and we'll get to that next. So we're going to spend just a little time with Peter now. Simon, or Simeon. This is Peter's given name, but by the time he has become a part of Jesus' inner circle, Jesus had given him this name, Peter. Actually, Cephas in Aramaic. And in Aramaic, Cephas means rock. So this is quite an affirmation and declaration about Peter's character and who he is. So how do we get from Cephas to Peter? So in Aramaic, it's translated into Greek. Cephas then becomes Petros. Both of these mean rock. And when I was a kid, I learned that Petra means rock. Because when I was a kid, I was like one of my favorite bands, right? And I can't be the only one out there. I know a lot of you are like, I never heard of them. Never heard of them. I wasn't even born. Gotcha. When I was a kid, like, I loved that band. And they used to have this, like when they would go on tour, they would have these radio commercials. Petra means rock. The power is in the rock. Because they were like a Christian rock band. So anyway, I digress. Cephas in Aramaic becomes Petros in Greek. And with the word Petros, right, then we can see very easily how that gets, moved into English dialect and becomes Peter. So Peter's story, obviously, is one of redemption from fishermen to fishers of men, but also redemption in his betrayal and his denial of Jesus, and then his utter transformation when the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts. But we remember his lowest moment, three times denying Jesus as Jesus is literally being sentenced to death, like leaving him when he needed him most. And then we follow Peter to the upper room, tongues of fire hover over those awaiting the Holy Spirit, and then Peter speaks this message. that goes throughout the world at that point. And his boldness from that point forward is like directed in very meaningful and powerful ways. And we're still feeling those reverberations today. So Peter, as this letter is written, says that he's writing from Babylon. And that's probably not where he's writing this letter from, at least in the like geographical sense, Babylon itself, like the capital of the Babylonian Empire. But through all the conjecture and biblical studies over thousands of years, the consensus is he's probably referring to the fact that he's writing from Rome, because Babylon was this nickname for Rome. And so with that in mind, this letter probably puts us in the mid-60s AD, likely. And so Peter, as church tradition tells us, goes to Rome and actually is martyred, dies in Rome, is crucified like Jesus in Rome. Only he asks that his cross be upside down, so that he's not crucified exactly like Jesus, he's crucified upside down. And Peter's tomb remains in Rome. It is a house within St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican at this point. And so that's where his life ends, this great saint that we get to know starting in the Gospel of Matthew. His life ends in Rome, and he is buried in Rome until this day. The letter is written to God's chosen people who live as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I see some of those places and think, yeah, I know exactly what they look like now. Cappadocia, Cappadocia, Galatia. These are regions in modern-day Turkey. And so they are significantly west of Jerusalem, significantly like west of where Peter spent a lot of his time, like at the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. But east of the capital city of the Roman Empire in Rome, which is now Italy. So kind of in the in-between. And Peter uses this term, God's chosen people who are living as foreigners. That's something that would have very much been understood in the Hebrew culture. That is known as the diaspora, those who have been dispersed, who are living as foreigners, who had been scattered all over the world in different exiles that we read about in the scriptures. And then more recently in Peter's time, those who had kind of been dispersed because they are fleeing persecution because of their faith. So, James, the letter that we read just before this, I guess a butt kicker, and it has a wallop, and it is a very direct look you right in the face kind of language that tells the truth. Peter, we know his personality. He's pretty direct as well. And so First Peter has its own wallop, similar to James, but neither one of these men are like writing words of shame and condemnation. They're writing direct truth of confrontation so that freedom can be attained. So Peter's not writing shame or condemnation. He's writing to encourage, to lift these people up who are suffering these hardships, who are getting worn out and are kind of faltering. And he is trying to remind them, and so he's trying to remind us of the glorious hope for those that can and will endure. And so James hopefully did confront us, and it's going to take a minute to get over that, hopefully, because it brings change. We're about to get some more straight talk from Peter, and so let's open our hearts to that as we begin 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 today. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested, as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him, even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Psalm 119, 17-32. Gemel, be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Don't let them scorn and insult me, for I have obeyed your laws. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decrees. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Dalet. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. Proverbs 28:8-10. Income from charging high interest rates will end up in the pocket of someone who is kind to the poor. God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Those who lead good people along an evil path will fall into their own trap. But the honest will inherit good things. Father, we thank you for your word and the close of another week and the beginning of new territory. And new territory will be something that we are encountering very, very often the rest of the year. And so we invite you, lead us into all truth. Lead us to what we need to see. Open our eyes. Lead us to what we need to hear. Open our ears. Give us the gift of endurance that we may endure, and give us the ability and the strength to confront what needs to change in us as we continue this journey forward. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, and they are where to get connected, stay connected, like the community sections, where to get connected on places like social media. And so be familiar with that. And it's also where to find out what's going on around here. What is going on around here right now is the call out for call-ins. So, this is the 20th year. So here at Daily Audio Bible and Daily Audio Bible Chronological, we're inviting you, however long you have been around the global campfire, to tell your campfire story. And so this is the time to call in and, you know, say who you are and where you're from and how long you've been around the campfire and what is your story? What have the scriptures meant in your life, the way that it unfolds here? What are the stories that we've walked through as a community together? And then just a little after Thanksgiving, we're going to pull all of that together. And man, I'm humbled. The Christmas party that we do every year brings me to tears. This will do no different. And so I'm looking forward to spending those hours sitting quietly, maybe outside with a blanket around me if it's cold. If it's cold and rainy, then maybe just in my little kind of meditation chair where I just sit and think, and with a cup of coffee of Wind Farm coffee in my little clean canteen right next to me. Looking forward to that. So, don't be left out. Bring your voice forward. Whether you've been here a week, whether you've been here 20 years, what does the scriptures mean in your life as we navigate them together? This works by using the hotlines, whether you call in or whether you use the app. Just like always, just like I say always, the only thing is, just don't call in a prayer request or an encouragement in the same call as your campfire story. Keep those separate if you have both. So if you want to call in, that's 877-942-4253. If you're using the app, that's the hotline button in the upper right-hand corner of the app. And looking forward to hearing from you and us joining our voices together to tell quite a humble story of what God has done over the course of these 7,300 days of showing up every day over the course of 20 years. So, looking forward to hearing from you. Don't wait. Don't linger. Don't wait. If you're like the last minute person, don't be the last minute person this time. We'd hate to kind of have to cut it off and then just miss your voice on this historic opportunity for us to tell our stories. So do that. Do that sooner than later. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. There would be no campfire. We wouldn't have gotten this far, and we would have no future if we were not in this together, showing up in every way that we can. And so, if you can, whether that's a big log that you can throw on a fire, or whether that's some twigs that you can throw on the fire, everything keeps the fire burning. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, or you want to tell your campfire story right now, 877-942-4253 is the number to call, or you can hit the hotline button in the app, and yeah, we'll be there. That is it for today. I am Brian, and I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, this is Steve from Northwest Arkansas. I just heard Edward's prayer for his daughter and his unborn grandchild. So I just want to lift up a prayer for his daughter and that baby. I too have a granddaughter on the way coming here shortly. And like Edward, I've listened for years, and this is only my second time calling in. I would just like to pray, Father God, be with that unborn baby, be with Edward's daughter, lift her up, protect her, Lord, help her with her pregnancy, help her to not be depressed, help her, give her your blessings, Lord, and bring that baby here safely. Lord, be with Edward, be with all the DAB community. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Dallas calling in, and I wanted to thank Brian and Jill and Ezekiel for sharing and documenting their wonderful exploration following Paul's steps. It was just an amazing adventure listening to you every day and being blessed by what you experienced and how you blessed us in the struggles you also faced, how you put your faith back in God, and you knew every day was going to be a bright day. And we thank you for your optimism and the way that came through loud and clear, because that was an exhausting adventure that you were on. So thank you for sharing it with us. Now, as far as people I'd like to pray for, there are a few. Bray from New Jersey, who's got an abusive ex-husband. We pray, Lord, that you would protect her from him and give her peace as only you can, Lord Jesus. And there's a grandmother whose grandson's best friend committed suicide, and she's worried that her grandson, I'm sure, had some part he could have done or should have done, or whatever it is that goes through our minds when someone commits suicide. Lord, you know what this young man needs, and we pray that you would fill him with peace and understanding that you love this little boy, this young man, and that you love him, and that you are there with him as you grieve him, and know that he's with you. Fill him with your peace. And lastly, I've got two dear friends who have serious conditions. One's got glaucoma and is about to have possibly surgery. It's like a last resort for her eye. And then Henry, who's had 14 years of different types of cancer, and she's still struggling with leukemia. Lord, bless these women and fill them with hope. May they see your hand in everything that happens, and that they would trust you totally with their total and complete healing, as only you will provide, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your power and your love in all of our lives. May we love each other as you love us.
Hello, my DAB family. It's Bethsaida. I just finished watching some YouTube videos. It's like God Behind Bars or something. And I was watching a lot of our new brothers and sisters get baptized in jail. And it was very touching seeing people from hard lives, hard backgrounds, submitting, humbling themselves, and coming to Christ was very impactful for me. I know it's hard for y'all in there, and I commend you guys all for humbling yourselves and knowing that He's in control, and that regardless of the lives that we're all dealt in life, we are promised beautiful peace in eternity if we would just believe in Him. For all my brothers and sisters that are in this predicament, I stand with you. I love you. Remain strong in His word. Know that He loves you and that there's redemption at the end of the line. I love you all. Jesus be with you. Love each other. We love y'all. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. This is Marilyn from New Hampshire. I'm calling on Sunday, November 17th. And, or maybe it's the 16th, I don't know. Calling on Sunday. Calling first with a praise report for our daughter, Bree. I think I called in, she was in a pretty tough spot, like a month ago. And thank you, God, you brought her through. She had a stroke and a lot of things went on. But she, thank you, God, you brought her through that really tough spot that we almost lost her. So now she's home recovering and doing well. But she was a vegan for 10 years, and she got very thin, very malnourished. Really, she was starving herself for like 10 years. So she's home. She knows she needs to eat better. She knows she needs to expand her capacity to eat. She's very thin, very thin, very tall, very thin. So I'm asking for prayer that she knows what she has to do. I just pray that you expand her, enlarge her appetite, her capacity to eat the right food. She knows she's going to eat meat protein, and she knows that God saved her, you know, and I want to praise God for that, because she definitely has taken some steps towards her relationship with God. So we just ask for prayer, for complete healing for Bree. Draw her closer to you, God, and just continued healing in her body. She's got stuff going on in her belly. She's got a fistula. And I pray for complete healing and removal of that fistula. And I just thank you for praying for Bree. And we love you guys and love Brian and Jill. And so we just praise God for what He's doing in Bree and in all of us. We love you guys. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.